The Inside Aperture podcast introduces you to the experts who use Apple's professional image management application to organize, edit, and output their pictures. Each show features tips and techniques that will help you improve the quality of your photography and bring efficiency to your workflow.
Hi, this is Derek Story with O'Reilly Media, and I'm meeting with Joe Shore today, Senior Product Manager for the Aperture application. And Joe, we have some great news today, don't we?
Yeah, I'm really excited, and I know a lot of our customers are, about Aperture 2. It's real, it's out, and a lot of work at Apple has gone into this product over the last year and a half, basically, to bring this product to everyone this week. It's a pretty exciting upgrade.
Well, let's get right into it. I thought maybe we could start out by talking, okay, what has been going on over, you know, since 1.5? Because you guys actually have, you basically have a development workflow yourself here for this application. So can we talk about that for a minute?
You know, it all starts with the feedback that we get from our users. And as you are no doubt aware, we have some pretty vocal customers. They like talking to us about the things that they like in Aperture and the things that they'd like to see changed. And we really work with pros quite closely on this. Again, this is, we've talked about this before. Apple is very involved with the feedback we get from our customers, but we do a lot of this pretty quietly. So I think a lot of people aren't even aware, for example, of the fact that we have an Aperture advisory board. It's made up of elite photographers from all over the world. And we bring them in. We actually bring them here to Cupertino, and we sit down, and they look over the shoulders of our engineers and give us very direct feedback about how we're implementing various features. And also, we listen to their ideas about things they'd like to see in the future. So, you know, when we were working on Aperture 2, one driving component of our development was listening to what our pros really needed to make this workflow more effective for them. They love the Aperture workflow. They love the import to output workflow that we provide through the application. What they really needed was speed. You know, they just needed to be able to do some of the things that the application lets you do faster. We took that on as one of the key sort of pedestals of the work that we were doing. Now, the other thing is that we heard from a lot of our non-professional customers, and we were kind of surprised at the number of enthusiasts, hobbyists, iPhoto users who were embracing this idea of doing more with their photography and kind of taking that step up to Aperture. But it's a big step. And I mean, I'm sure as someone who has done a lot of Aperture instruction, you've noticed that there's a lot of new concepts that people have to kind of get their heads around with this application. And so our hobbyist and enthusiast customers basically were saying, I want to take this step, but can you make it easier? Just, you know, reduce the learning curve. And you know what? Quite honestly, a lot of pros who want to make a change in their workflow, they just do not have the time to relearn as much as sometimes it would take to make this step into a professional application. So we wanted to make that transition into Aperture easier. So that was the other big thing, right? And then there was a common theme through the feedback that we got from both of those groups, and that was about image quality. And we all saw very clearly that, you know, no matter how fast it goes or what cool features you put in there, at the end of the day, you know, you want to get the best possible images out of your camera. And you, whether it's decoding the raw file or just the adjustments that you can make on that image, you know, you're going to use the tool that's giving you great results, and you don't really want to compromise there. So that was the other big foundation. So those three things, I can tell you, you know, looking at how can we optimize the speed, how can we reduce the learning curve and make that transition from iPhoto, you know, not quite as daunting, and then what can we do on the imaging front to give people even better quality? That is what this release is all about.
And this all rolls up into, over 100 features that, you know, that we'll be talking about over months to come. But maybe today what we can do is, you know, we have these three cornerstones here. And they're all great, by the way. I think you guys made good choices there. But let's talk about one or two examples in each of these areas that people can look for in this 2.0 release.
So I'm actually going to do the last one first. We talked about image quality, and I really want to start that. We're really excited about RAW version 2, essentially. So this is what you get through Aperture 2 is access to Apple's, you know, latest and greatest. It's the next generation of our RAW decode. Now, we're handling this exactly the way we did when we updated our raw decode for 1.1, meaning that when you migrate your Aperture library into Aperture 2, we're not going to just automatically apply our raw decode changes to every one of your images, because you may have tweaked some of these to perfection, right? We don't want your images suddenly shifting under your feet. But you can select to migrate an individual image or a whole project or, you know, your whole library if you want to, and then use the new raw decode. And it will look a little different because we've made some really important changes there. Everything new that you import, by the way, will automatically use the next generation, the raw version 2. And as in previous versions of Aperture, you can move back and forth. So you can literally go and say, well, here's how it looked before. This is what it looked like with the version 1.1 raw decode, and here's what it looks like now. You'll be able to see some pretty dramatic differences in some cases. Mm-hmm. But this raw decode is really dramatically improved in many ways. The way it handles noise, the highlight recovery, mm-hmm. the color rendering, there are some significant changes there. And then in addition to that, we've built out raw fine-tuning so that you have more control over how we are rendering colors when we apply our tonal response curve. There's a dedicated slider now for moiré. So when you get some weird color fringing that you'll get on certain kinds of images, you can actually dial that down. All in all, I think everyone's going to be really thrilled with the way your images are rendered by default. But then in addition to that, you know, we've got some great new tools. So the raw decode in itself is sort of a key feature of the whole application. And then you're going to see the adjustment tools that take advantage of that. So I think one that people are going to be really excited about is recovery. Now, this is a dedicated highlight recovery tool. It's part of the exposure brick. And instead of having to reduce overall exposure in order to truly recover raw highlights, you now have dedicated recovery. So without touching the overall exposure, you can pull all of those highlights in. It works really well. We've also added black point control as a dedicated slider. So without even having to go past that exposure brick, you end up in a better place. And then if you want to go and use our other tools below that to enhance the image even further, once you've brought data into range, then you can still use highlights and shadows, which we've always had, to then, you know, take those bright but not blown out areas and enhance them even further. So those are some great tools. The other one that I think people are going to be really excited about is the retouch tool. Now, this is not like spot and patch, which is a little, you know, the circles. We all know those yellow circles, right? The retouch is an actual brush. It's a soft-edged brush that you can use to clean up spots, blemishes, other unwanted elements. The repair mode automatically maps the areas surrounding texture to the repair that you make so that you get a really nice, clean repair when you want to just blot out like a spot, a sensor dust. You can change the opacity and also the softness of this brush. So you have tremendous control. It also has a really cool feature called detect edges. And so if you have a little spot that's right near a hard edge, like a wall or the edge of a tree or something like that, you can actually brush over that edge a little bit. You can, it's kind of cheating, you know, over the edge, and it will detect the hard edge and automatically leave that alone. It'll protect that. So it can, and there are certain circumstances where this just really works like a charm. And then it also has a full cloning mode. So if you do need to pick pixels up from a specific area of the image in order to get a texture or a pattern to look exactly right, you can clone pixels from one spot to another, and it's very effective. So that's a great tool that, you know, it just takes care of a lot of the cleanup work that I think people have to do in their images.
Sounds like the adjustment heads-up display has really had a nice little overhaul here. You know, speaking of the raw stuff, I just wanted to touch, you know, you had mentioned earlier that Aperture users are very passionate sometimes. And one of the things they've been asking about are some of the new camera profiles. Is that also part of this update?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things that we've included, in fact, we've written new camera support to really take advantage of this version 2 of our raw decode. So we've got support for, I think, the cameras that everyone's been expecting. I know a lot of people have been chomping at the bit to be able to use Aperture with their Nikon D3 images and the D300, the Canon 1DS Mark III. So there's a whole slew of new cameras that are supported. And these are, you know, as we looked at these, we really wanted to make sure that we brought these out with the raw V2 mm-hmm. to really give them their due, to be able to get the most out of the images. We've really optimized for these new cameras. Every one of the raw decodes is based on a characterization of that specific camera. So yes, they're all in there. And actually, the other news is that we've expanded our support to include our next round of medium format digital camera backs. So you'll also find support for a number of Hasselblad backs is now integrated into the product. And a really significant change on the DNG front, and I think this is also going to be pretty big news for a lot of users. So in the past, with our RAW version 1, we only supported the DNG format for cameras that we also supported natively, right? So if you had, let's use an example, a 1DS Mark II, which we support natively, if you generated a DNG from that camera, then we read the DNG. But if you had a DNG that was created from a RAW format that Apple didn't otherwise support, didn't come up as supported. So we've added with this release something that we call baseline DNG. Now, we can't characterize by the camera because there is no camera to characterize against. It's a generic DNG. But if you have a DNG that you've created from most digital cameras available, we will be able to read that. Even if we don't have native RAW support, you will be able to use the DNG version to be able to work in RAW within Aperture.
It seems like it was important that the new RAW decode be associated with the new cameras.
Yeah, that's right, because that was really an essential in order to be able to handle these image formats the right way. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about Hasselblad image quality and, very, very high resolution, a lot of data to work with. And we wanted to make sure that we were doing those right. Yeah. And so I think that it took a little extra time, but it's support that we really feel good about and that sort of gives those cameras their just due.
Well, what else do you want to cover? We got lots of good stuff here.
Yeah, so let's take another one of those categories. I think one that people are really interested in is speed. So there's a number of things that we've optimized here. A lot of the database, for Aperture has been pretty heavily rewritten and optimized so that just moving through a large library is a dramatically better experience. If you have a big library, this is going to be big news. So just things like moving between projects, clicking on all photos and being able to scroll through all photos, these things all happen much, much faster. Searches of any kind, anytime you make a query by keyword, file name, anything like that, dramatic change in the performance there. But the one that I'm most excited about is a feature called Quick Preview, which I think is going to be a really significant workflow improvement for a lot of photographers. Now, here's what that's about. When you turn Quick Preview on, it's a special mode. When you turn Quick Preview on, when you select a photo, Aperture loads only the preview and doesn't even attempt to load the full resolution, master image. Because when you're working with these images, actually doing adjustments, of course, you need all your full res data. But, what if you're just like going through a shoot quickly to kind of see what's in focus and what's not, or, which are the potential keepers and which ones aren't? You just want to get that quick overview. You want to just flip through the images really fast. You don't ever really want to see a loading indicator. You don't need it, right? So with Quick Preview, you just hit one button or you can hit one keystroke. It's the letter P for preview. And Aperture doesn't attempt to load, the master images, the raw files. It just takes whatever preview you have available and only loads that. And so you flip it into this mode and it becomes a speed demon. You can just step through these images as fast as you want. And it's just a pleasure to work with. You can zip through. We give you a lot of visual clues to let you know that you're in this quick preview mode. The little button turns yellow, and your selection rectangle turns yellow. You know that you're only looking at the preview, and you can flip through your images as fast as you want. And if you hit one that you then, you need to look at it at full resolution or you want to do some editing, you just hit P. You'll get the loading indicator. The full res image will load. You do your work. You hit P again, and off you go, and you're zipping through as fast as you want. Now, what's cool about this is that Aperture will use whatever preview it has available. So if you've already got a library where you've generated high-quality previews, those are what you get. But if Aperture hasn't had a chance to make previews, for example, you've just imported images from a card, it's smart enough to know to use the preview that your camera made. So, when you import raw images, these raw images generally have a pretty high quality preview embedded in them. And so Aperture 2 does something that Aperture 1 didn't. it pulls those previews in, and that makes those your first preview. So you bring in a fresh set of images off of a card, you hit quick preview, and you are flipping through sharp images instantly, and you can go through them and make your initial selects. And then in the background, Aperture will slowly, one at a time, you know, go through and make each of those high quality previews the way it normally does. But the ability to do this fast editing on import, I think, is going to be a huge improvement in the overall Aperture workflow.
On first look, you know, this is sort of a photo mechanic kind of thing we're talking about here. It will use the camera stuff, and then it will actually replace those over time. And then, so then if I were to hit quick preview, let's say a couple hours later after I've done some other work, then actually I would be looking at if I was having Aperture generate previews, which I do, then I'd actually be looking at those the second time I use quick preview.
That's absolutely correct. So that's why I've been using this with some of my, you know, projects that I already have those previews for. And it's great because I've got a really large size, high quality preview ready and waiting for me. And then, of course, the other thing to be aware of is that if you were to pause on one of those images and actually make an exposure adjustment, as soon as you do that, if you have the maintain previews option turned on in Aperture, which it is on by default, then, of course, right away you have the new previews. So it updates if you've made the adjustment. And then from that point forward, your preview reflects the adjustments that you've made.
This is going to be particularly good for photographers working in the field that need to get the job turned around quickly, make their selects, upload them, and off you go. And it's really just a keystroke to go in and out of the mode then.
Exactly. Yeah, it's one keystroke, and there's also a button. It's available in full screen. It's available in the standard interface. You're not just getting thumbnails, you know, you're getting a fairly good sized preview. So you can really work in this mode. And the other thing is, everything else in Aperture works when you're in quick preview. So you can rate, sort, compare, make multiple selections. You can build light tables. You can work on web pages. You can work on a book. You can do all of that in quick preview without ever having an image load until you need it. And then it's all there.
What else you have? You got something else. I know you do.
Okay. So let me mention one, an item from the let's make the interface easier to deal with department. So this is one of my favorite UI changes. What we did is we took the various panels that you had to the inspector panels that you have to use in the main interface. Like there's the project panel, and then there's the metadata panel, and then the adjustments, and we've turned those into this all-in-one inspector with three tabs. So What's great about that is that we just gave you the same tools and half the space, so that you no longer have a panel that you have to open on both sides of the screen. It's all in one place. You're not hunting around for which tool is where. There's a keystroke. It's the letter W. Think of W for window. If you hit W, it actually cycles through projects, metadata, adjustments, projects, metadata, adjustments. You just tap it as many times as you need to go through there, and you get to the tools that you need. It works exactly the same way in full screen. So it means that in full screen now, instead of just having your adjustments, you actually have your whole metadata panel. You can write captions in full screen. You have your project panel. You can switch to a completely different project or a different album in full screen. So one of the things that we heard loud and clear from a lot of our customers is, I love full screen. I wish I could spend my whole life there, you know, without having to bounce in and out. And so this allows you to make a lot more use of full screen. You're in there. You're looking at your pictures full size, add a caption, right? You can add all the detail right there, or just switch to a different project. If you're comparing things from two different projects, you can kind of bounce between them, and you never have to leave that beautiful full screen layout. So this integrated all-in-one inspector, I think it's nice because it kind of puts more of the tools that you need right under your mouse, and it just leaves more room for your photos, which is great. So that's one of the big UI improvements. The other one I'll mention, it's a really simple one, but you will wonder how you lived without it, is we've changed the double-click behavior in the application. It's much simpler now. So you're looking at, say, your thumbnails. You want to look at a photo. You double-click it. You just double-click, and it takes you into a completely new view called Viewer Only, where we hide all the thumbnails, and just takes that whole window and fills it with your photo. So you can instantly see it, make an adjustment on it, add metadata, whatever you want. Double click again, and you're back where you started with your thumbnails, or it could be the split view where you have the browser on the bottom and the viewer on the top. And in preferences, you can change that double click behavior so that it either takes you in and out of the viewer only or in and out of full screen. So it just works more the way people would expect it to work. It's simple. I can guarantee you after you're going to work on this product for 20 minutes and 20 minutes later, you'll never remember not double clicking that way. It just feels really natural and it just makes navigating through the application so much easier.
Joe, I really like that a lot. Is there an option key where I can toggle between behaviors on the fly?
There isn't a specific keystroke that lets you switch between the double click behaviors. There is a keystroke. It's the letter V. Think of V for viewer. That cycles you through all the different viewer and browser combinations. This is another one that I couldn't even imagine living without now. It's great. So you hit V and you get just thumbnails. You hit V again and you get the split view. And you hit V again and you get just the viewer, no thumbnails at all. And you just keep tapping to get to the view that you want. You don't have to remember three different keystrokes for three different views. You just cycle through these and it just feels really natural and you get to exactly what you want. Of course, we always have the letter F for full screen to get in and out. But if you don't like any of these keyboard shortcuts that I've just mentioned, good news. We have made every keyboard shortcut customizable in the entire application. So you go to the Aperture menu, there's a command called Commands. You open that up and you get a whole keyboard layout. And if you think that our particular keyboard shortcuts are too hard to learn, make your own. And if we left one out that you think we should have, add your own and you can create your own sets of keyboard shortcuts and you can trade them and collect them with your friends. And it is a huge, we talk about speed. When we were talking about speed with the app, it's not just, you know, the processing speed of an image. It's all of these things that we're talking about. It's how quickly you could move through the application. And being able to customize these keyboard shortcuts and have these easy ways of cycling through, it's just, it makes you so much more efficient.
And it was also nice that, for instance, W, we were using for the project pane already. V, we were already using for the viewer mode. So you know, it's nice that you stuck with the same strokes, too, so the learning curve is minimized.
Yeah, we absolutely tried to we tried to preserve as much of that as possible. And we also were, in a lot of the layout, we were very cognizant of sort of this move from iPhoto. We tried to make things feel a little more comfortable. So even just the viewer and browser layouts I was talking about, there's a little more familiarity there. There's another one of those I'll mention. I'm going to squeeze one more here in our podcast. And that is as soon as when iPhoto came out, iPhoto 7, part of the iLife 08 suite back in the summer, we introduced events, right? Where people loved the fact that your photos were grouped into these events and then you could just hover your mouse over the event and it would skim through the whole event. And I would say about like 6 minutes after that product was released, Aperture customers started emailing us saying, you know, I want that. I want to be able to skim through my projects the way iPhoto customers can skim through events. So we did it. And there's a new view. You actually get to it on the project panel called All Projects. When you click on that, every one of your projects becomes a photo tile in the window. And you can skim them. So you can literally look at your whole app. It gives you this very quick, you know, visual overview of your entire Aperture library. You can skim through every event, go right to a specific photo, and if you double click, it'll actually open that project up with that photo selected. And you can choose your own, what we call the key photo, is sort of the poster image for each project. Even if you're a longtime Aperture user, it's like a whole new way of looking at your library that you haven't seen before that gives you this visual overview where your projects are not just names, but images. And I think it's another nice example of how we're trying to bring some of the really intuitive things that we've introduced through iPhoto and make them more a part of the Aperture experience.
Since you got to squeeze one more in, I'm going to squeeze one more in too, which is you also brought one of my favorite features from iPhoto into Aperture, which is the .Mac gallery function.
Yes, this was. If it took them 6 minutes to email us about projects and events, it took 6.5 minutes to get emails about .Mac Web Gallery, because the websites that you can produce with .Mac Web Gallery, they just look great. People love them. We have integrated all of that, so you just select images in Aperture, and you can produce these .Mac Web Gallery online albums. They work just like the ones from iPhoto. We've taken it a step further. We knew that Aperture customers would be interested in one extra little thing, so we've added that. And what that is the ability to download from a published web gallery, not just an optimized JPEG, but a full-size JPEG or the original image, the untouched original master image, even if it's a raw file. So what that essentially means is that you can now, as an Aperture customer, use .Mac Web Gallery not just as a sort of sharing or presentation site, but as a distribution tool, right, to allow, say, a photo editor or a client to grab specific images on their own from the site when they see something that they like and actually get the full resolution original. They could also get your adjusted JPEG, so they can kind of have both. And, of course, all of the password protection is built in. So you can now create this password-protected website where you can distribute images. It's pretty cool, and it's all built right in.
Let's talk about availability and upgrade price.
Very good. So, of course, we announced on Tuesday, and we are going to be shipping the boxes out this week. So there's a trial version of Aperture 2. All you have to do is go to our website, and you can download it. And if you like what you see, you can, of course, order a serial number, and you turn it into a genuine copy of Aperture 2. As far as the pricing goes, the upgrade price, if you have any existing copy of Aperture, is $99. The brand new price is $199. So we lowered the price. This is in keeping with some of the repricing that we've done on our other applications over the last year, Logic Express and Final Cut Express. We repriced those, and we thought this would be a great thing to do with Aperture 2 to make it even more accessible, not only to the pros who rely on it, but to, as I mentioned, all of the sort of photo enthusiasts and non-professionals who are just looking, I think, to be able to do more with their photography.
So if you have Aperture already, you can go over to the Aperture page on the Apple site and take care of your upgrade right there.
You can buy an upgrade online through the Apple Store. So it's two separate boxes that you would buy. So you can either buy the upgrade or the full version. And then, as I mentioned, you can do the trial. And even with the trial, you can buy an upgrade serial number or a full version serial number.
Very nice. So in other words, you can start using it today.
Yes, you can. That's right.
Thanks so much, Joe. We're going to have a lot more to talk about up the road, but I think this will get us all headed in the right direction, and congratulations.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I think we talked about maybe a half dozen features, right? So we have 94 more to cover.
It'll be lots of fun. I'll talk to you soon.
The Inside Aperture podcast is produced by O'Reilly Media. To learn more about Aperture, be sure to visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aperture for articles, tutorials, blogs, and podcasts. This show is produced on a Mac using Soundtrack Pro. See you next time.